God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The great reversal, blessed is she who believed what was spoken to her from the Lord, and blessed are we when we live by faith. When we too believe what was spoken to us, each and every one of us, by the Lord. So today, we're going to reflect on that great reversal of the humble being lifted up, the poor being made rich, the proud and the rich being brought down. Our world is a place where big things rule. Being in Texas, what's it always about? Big trucks. I certainly wouldn't be guilty of such a thought. Big hair? Big belt buckles. Big homecoming mums, big schools, big churches. Big programs. Big houses. Big resumes. And let's not forget, too, big Christmas displays. Our reading for the fourth Sunday of Advent teaches us that God, being the greatest of all, He humbles Himself. And He becomes small to rescue and to reverse the big curse that our sin has brought upon us all. One theme that is repeated in our readings today is that of the small and humble being brought high, being lifted up. The nameless are given a name, the unknown are named, the forgotten are given a place of remembrance, of prominence, a place of honor. Beginning with our reading from Micah 5, we hear, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, are too little to be among the tribes." Bethlehem had nothing about it that made it special. However, Micah, in the Old Testament, is prophesying that this know-nothing town will be made prominent because the Messiah will be born there. This text is how the wise men knew to go to Bethlehem, being guided by the star, but they had to look to the text. They had to look to God's holy word to see exactly where to find the Messiah. Blessed are they for believing what was spoken to them by the word of God. But before we see the birth, before we see the wise men going to Bethlehem, we see that God's presence humbles the faithful, but then makes those who believe great. More than great, we become, by faith, the very possession of God Himself. Blessed is she who believed what the Lord has spoken. Today we hear God lifts us to a place of honor. That we who have sinned have deserved nothing but hell and the damnation of God and His punishment. That we are forgiven. This is one of the major differences, how God works. This is one of the major differences between how our world works and how God brings honor. In the way of the world, honor is bestowed and given when you become accomplished, when you have done something worth rewarding, a military victory, a gold record, good deeds of some sort that you can lift up and show that you deserve power. You deserve recognition. Today we remember that God elevates, God honors, God remembers, God saves, not by reasons of merit, but by grace. By Himself coming and acting on our behalf, on behalf of lowly humans, God does for us what we could never merit. He gives us the forgiveness of every one of our sins. He protects us. He gives us hope in a world that has none, or at least tries to find hope in hopeless, shallow places. Mary sums it up like this: He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich He has sent empty away. Our world is built on proving yourself. You want a promotion at work? Show how you can do the job in a big way, better than everyone else. You want to be accepted by the powerful? Do you want a seat at the table? Prove it. You want accolades and trophies? Don't show that you're small, but prove that you're proud. Prove that you're big. Prove and show that you can do it. Because if you want to be honored in this world, you have to perform. If you want the love of the world, you have to prove yourself worthy of that love. That's just how the world works. But our reading from Hebrews reminds us how big we are before God. That no matter how good of a sacrifice we present to God, we are still sinners. Sacrifices God is not pleased with. Sacrifices from us. No matter how good of a sacrifice we present to God to balance out the evil of our pride and our sins, our desire to have the attention of the powerful, no matter how big of a sacrifice we offer, no matter how big in the eyes of the world we become, we cannot prove ourselves worthy to God. We cannot earn God's favor by being big. What can you do to impress God? We think our Christmas decorations are so grand in our front yard. Well, consider the stars. Look at God's decoration. What can we do to impress God? Maybe you can hold your tongue at Christmas. Maybe you don't say what you really think. Well, God knows your thoughts. Or perhaps you make yourself big at the expense of others. We scoff at the smallness of others. Or even at authorities, our parents and others, we despise them. No matter how good we are, our sins are too big. Our lives are too corrupt. It's the big of the world that we constantly think about. It's the approval of those around us that we are constantly looking to get. It's with excitement that we chase the power and the privileges of this life, and yet we don't consider the joy that it is to be small and humble and to be rewarded by God. We're too focused on earning the love of the world than the love of God. We desire to have the eyes of the world fixed on us rather than fixing our eyes on Christ. Because, let's be honest, when we think like the world, who wants that reward? And yet, with all the bigness of our sin, our readings give us hope. They give us hope not because it's just nice thoughts, it's not just a nice story about two pregnant women meeting and giving God thanks. Our hope is that this presents the truth. We are given hope in spite of our big sins because God becomes small for you. That God Himself became a child, the big God of the universe, He becomes insignificant. Like you and me, the Creator becomes dependent on others. He must put Himself into the care of His mother and His guardian, Joseph. This small God was glad to be provided for. Different from you and me was Jesus. He was born. He desired to become insignificant so that He may save us. And yet He did not desire the approval of the world. And as you hear in Mary's song, in her canticle, she does talk about there being a sharp side to this. so that when you reject Christ, you will be brought down. When you seek the approval of the world, when you work as a reward way, looking just for the approval of the successful, you will despise Christ. Christ Jesus did not desire the approval of the world. He did not sin. He did not prefer the bigness of pride, but He preferred the humbleness of service. Of service to you. Service to me. Blessed is the one who believed what the Lord has said. For Christ Himself, He knows what it's like to be considered worthless. He knows what it's like to be despised. He was rejected by man. There was nothing about Him that caused people to pause and look at Him and say, "Wow, what a successful man." You remember, even His disciples left Him. But Christ did not forget the disciples for their sins, and neither does He forget us because our sins are somehow too big for Him to forgive, or as if our sins are too little to matter. No, we have hope because He forgives us. The Holy Spirit comes and humbles us in repentance, and we confess. Because the Father has given up His Son, Jesus Christ, for you. He was forsaken by the Father for us to never be forsaken. Blessed is she who believes what was spoken by the Lord. Today's reading teaches us this joy, this gift, the truth that God became nothing for our sake, so that we would be everything to Him. We hear today that this Christ child, born insignificant, small, in a little town, know-nothing town, to a know-nothing person, His mother Mary, that this is none other than one of the members of the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, one of the three. We hear from Elizabeth attesting to this. We hear that Elizabeth was given faith miraculously before Mary even told her of her pregnancy. We're told in verse 41 that Elizabeth is full of the Holy Spirit. "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She recognizes not only by the Holy Spirit that Mary is pregnant and there, but also that the one in her womb is none other than another person of the Trinity, the Son. And finally, we hear this Trinity language, "Blessed is she who believed," that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. We hear Elizabeth pointing out that the message of Christ was from God Himself. The three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three working to show how this great God becomes small and insignificant for us. These are the three who will also again appear at the baptism of Jesus. They will show up again at the transfiguration. And when Jesus institutes baptism, where the humble are raised up, the repentant are given a place, an identity in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when Jesus institutes baptism, the Word and the water, insignificant things, doing great work for those who believe what was spoken to them by the Lord. The Word and the water giving even what the world despises. The world sees the smallest among us, children and babies, as insignificant. And what does God do? God washes them clean. And He says, "To these belong the kingdom of God." The great reversal. And all of this is because just as Mary's pregnancy was not an act of man, so too baptism is not a work of man, but a work of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit doesn't wait for John the Baptist to be old enough to understand what is happening before he leaps in the womb of his mother. God doesn't wait for Mary to become big enough before he comes and gives her her Lord in her womb. God doesn't wait for us to understand. He doesn't wait for us to become big in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of one another. For who of us can understand this mystery of the mercy of God? Who of us can fully comprehend? Who of us can see that while we were yet insignificant sinners, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ? Today we hear of three people, three who were pretty insignificant in the eyes of the world: Elizabeth, Mary, John the Baptist. They, however, are elevated to a place of glory by faith in Jesus, and He hasn't even accomplished salvation yet, and they believe it as if it's already done. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. We, like Mary, are blessed by believing what has been spoken by the Lord. Your Lord has forgiven you all your sins. You have no reason to think that you're small or insignificant to God. He gave His Son for you. He's washed you clean. He's made you big in righteousness. He's made you large in holiness because Christ dwells with you. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And true to character, now God comes to us in insignificant ways that the world despises. And He does this so that we would follow Him. He doesn't come to us in big ways, in ways that the world is going to celebrate. That's always going to be the case until He returns on the last day. And yet, this is a curse for those who are looking for God in the great things of the world. The church will never look appetizing enough to those. The church and the people of God will never measure up to the proud and those who consider themselves big. But the humble, they will find Christ even in the least of these. The humble find Christ even in their enemies. Those who hunger for righteousness will find forgiveness aplenty in the church of God and in the sacrament. And we will be satisfied. Those looking for greatness in the world will never be happy with what Christ gives. The people of God, we are not looking for significance. We're not looking for places of honor among men in the courts and palaces of those who despise our Lord. We aren't even willing to let our right hand know what our left hand is doing, but indeed, our right hands are active. First, we receive forgiveness in the Word and Sacrament, and then with our hands, both with our right and left hands, we serve. We serve the insignificant, whether that be those in your own home, those at work, and your friends. We love those who are unloved because we have the character of our God. We welcome the small. We lift up the little. We do this because God, the three in one, humbled Himself to the point of death to raise you up. Not only now, but also, we are blessed because we believe what is spoken to us by our Lord, that it will be fulfilled. That God not only lifts you up now by forgiveness, but He will also lift us up from the grave in the resurrection. And that the dead indeed are given life. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.